Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
The shooting dead of director of photography Helena Hutchins on a film set in Santa Fe last week is a stark reminder to the filmmaking community that, though they work in fantasy, action on set can have real-world consequences. On Thursday, while filming the Western Rust, the movie star Alec Baldwin discharged a prop gun which killed Hutchins and injured director Joel Souza. An Associated Press report from 2016 determined that from 1990 until the time of publication, at least 43 people died on sets in the US, and more than 150 have been left with life-altering injuries. And we wanted to look at some of these and see if these deaths resulted in safer conditions on sets. Well, our own Alison Hyland joins me in studio now. Ali, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran.
And you looked into some of these more impactful and high-profile deaths. What did you find there, Ali?
Well, I found there's a lot more of them than we realised. Looking, I think you could name any movie over the last 50 or 60 years, and you will have a list of injuries that were incurred by either crew or actors as a result of filming. Now, some of them can be very minor, some of them very major, as we're going to hear. But I suppose to give some background on the Baldwin case, there's still a lot of confusion about what exactly happened. But what we do know happened is that Alec Baldwin was filming a shot where he was firing a gun directly to camera. For some reason, there was a live round and live ammunition in that gun. And as a result of that, he shot accidentally Helena Hutchins, who was the cinematographer on the movie, and also injured the director, Joel Souza. Now, of course, it is under investigation at the moment. The LAPD Sheriff's Office have obtained all camera footage, everything from the set, to try and determine what exactly happened. But it would, I think, indicate that there was maybe a lack of qualification on the part of the armourer on this movie.
That's the person who was looking after the guns
and sourcing the guns. Now, what would happen normally on film sets is a lot of them would be fake guns, but where you want to have that realistic image or footage of a gun, they would use real guns that they could acquire through either gun clubs or through pawn shops. That happens a lot.
Go on.
And then what they would do is they would use ammunition. There's two types of ammunition that they would use on film sets. You have the dummy round and you have the blank round. So the dummy round is a cartridge without a primer or a gunpowder. Now, it could be filled with sand or usually paper, and that's used to kind of simulate the weight of a real round. So that's just used to kind of, if you want a shot of somebody firing the gun, but it would be realistic because the weight would all be different and they'd still have to kind of pull back when you fire. Now, they could also use a blank round. Now, a blank round does have powder and a primer, but it has no bullet. So it just makes noise.
So you have the sound.
So that is exactly what they were trying to do with that shot with Alec Baldwin, to get the shot of the fire and the smoke. But for some reason, there was a live round in that chamber. So that is now under investigation. But it's not the first time it's happened.
Right.
Now, the most famous, I think, of these would be back in 1993, The Crow.
Yes.
Now, this incident killed Brandon Lee, who was an up-and-coming actor. Also, very famously, was the son of martial arts icon Bruce Lee. Now, this was going to be Brandon's kind of breakout role. And it was a very dark movie. It was about a man that comes back from the dead, or that they kill, a gang kill his girlfriend, and he tries to annihilate them all. A very dark movie, but very good and a real cult classic. Now, what happened in the Brandon Lee incident was that he was filming a scene where his character was killed by street thugs when a dummy cartridge was replaced with a blank round. So it was being replaced with a fake bullet. But what happened was that when they were taking out the blank round, the tip of the bullet broke off and stayed in the chamber. So the dummy round fired behind it and essentially fired that bullet like it was a real bullet and like a live round in that gun. Now, it shot Lee in the back, and after 6 hours of unsuccessful emergency surgery, he succumbed to his injuries in North Carolina. He was just 28 at the time. Mm. Now, the man who fired that gun was a fellow actor. His name was Michael Massey, and he was working alongside Brandon Lee in that movie. He himself died in 2016, and he only ever spoke about that incident once. Here's what he said.
You have experienced a stunt in your life that went tragically awry.
Tragically awry, and it's and I've never talked about this on camera, and it was shooting of The Crow, and Brandon died during it. And since then, I'm very conscious of the dangers of making a movie, and it is a dangerous proposition where we throw ourselves out there with, at least me, with very little regard for my body when I'm doing it, and you're using different props that can be really dangerous, especially if they're not treated well. I mean, what happened to Brandon was a tragic accident, and it's something that I'm gonna live with. It's taken me, took me the time it took to be able to not so much put it in perspective, but to be able to move on with my life. And I never felt the need or the obligation to talk to anybody about it other than his fiance at the time and his mother, who I called. And then I had to do, like we all do, we all have experienced tragedies in our lives, and we all find our way through them to get to the other side, to be able to go on, because if not, you wouldn't be able to go on with life. And that's what I had to do with this experience. And as I said, it's very personal, and it's something that I want to make sure when I work that it's never repeated. And therefore, I'm very conscious of the possibilities of things going awry on a set, and I'm very, very safety conscious. Well, it's like everybody, as I said, has gone through some tragedy in some way, shape, or form, or if they haven't, they're very lucky. And I don't see them just going down the street and grabbing someone off or someone they don't know, putting a mic in their face and say, hey, listen, talk about that car wreck that you had where some little kid lost their leg. It's not that I've been avoiding talking about it. It's just, it doesn't seem to me to be relevant to anybody else except the people that were involved. And to me, for my journey through life, how I was able to get to the other side of it. And it was a very slow and thoughtful process. I mean, I didn't know it was thoughtful at the time, but I just took a year off and I went back to New York and didn't do anything. I didn't work, didn't do anything. I just spent it with close friends and family, and just to get through it like any of us get through a tragedy. But it was a tragedy. The only difference with this tragedy is that it happened with cameras rolling, and it was a big media thing.
And that's Michael Massey. And it's, I mean, you can hear from his voice there the toll that has taken on him.
It ruined his life.
Yeah.
And his career never recovered from it either.
Sure, yeah.
And he died kind of in mysterious circumstances back in 2016. A lot of rumour that it was self-inflicted then as well. So it completely destroyed his life.
Yeah, you'd wonder the effect it will have on Alec Baldwin and his career. Is that because
Absolutely.
He's had his own difficulties over
he
the years.
He has, and he's kind of come back from that. And kind of since his days at 30 Rock, which was a huge success. And then in SNL, he was kind of coming back and making a renaissance almost. And now you'd wonder, what is this going to do now to his career?
It's amazing. Take us to 1984 and to Cover Up. Will you tell us the
story?
Yeah,
this, and you know, it's not just film that has incidents like this. Cover Up was a TV show. It was in its seventh episode and was due to be a big hit that year when a tragedy struck there on October 12th of 1984. The actor called John Eric Hexham was filming a scene where he was meant to simulate a Russian roulette. Now, this is when a cartridge, one bullet is loaded into a gun. You spin the barrel and then you take your chances and see if you win or not.
In The Deer Hunter, of course, it was very central to the whole movie, yeah.
Now, what happened here when he was filming, there was a cartridge in the gun, but it was a dummy shot. It wasn't a live round, but because it was very close contact, What happened is that it hit him, obviously, in the head when he was simulating that. He underwent emergency surgery because the dummy bullet actually went into his head and passed away 5 days later, just the age of 26. This was a huge tragedy at the time. I don't know if many people remember him, but even if you look back on videos of him, the most beautiful looking man. He was stunning.
Steady.
And the most beautiful voice. If you hear him, here he is on an interview just before cover-up, just before this incident.
Whole new series, cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
You play Private Eye?
Not really. I play an ex-Green Beret who's a bit irreverent and gets thrown out of the Army. And before he does, he makes a poster for the Marines, and from that gets a lot of modeling jobs, and from that becomes a successful model and works with Jennifer O'Neill, who's the photographer.
Well,
and so we become foreign spies, making the world safe for democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Anderson, an old Oscar, plays our boss.
Isn't that too bad? Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great show.
That's great fun.
Yeah.
Great fun.
Did you want to do a series?
Yes. Yeah, we had spoken.
You didn't want to head towards the great big screen?
Well, yeah, but they didn't offer me, you know, the return of Indiana Jones, so... But we have great fun with it. And I have great flexibility with my character. I mean, so he's a fun guy. Male model was a great time, but the guy I played in it was always upset, didn't want to leave the ranch. Nobody was nice to him in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have a lot of fun. This character has a lot of fun.
John Eric Hexham, what a voice.
Beautiful. Right, yeah, very tragic. He was only 26.
My God.
That wasn't alive right now. It's different to the other cases, but it shows, I suppose, the danger that exists on a film site or a TV filming.
But, you know, I've been thinking about this since the Baldwin case, and really, it's a surprise to me. There's not more of this. When you look at some of the action movies and the kind of sequences
that are
there.
But there
are,
but we just
there,
don't
you know?
Hear about them, and that's the thing. I'm going through, I have lists and lists here of movies with injuries. Rambo. You know, think of any movie. In Rambo, Cliff Wenger Jr. was accidentally killed by one of the film's explosions. He was one of the... he was a stuntman involved in that. Also, Rocky IV. In the scene between Rocky and Ivan Drago, Sylvester Stallone and Dolph Lundgren agreed to legitimately spar with each other. As a result of that, Stallone was airlifted to hospital and placed in intensive care for 8 days after Lundgren delivered a hard punch to his chest.
Wow.
So, and Die Hard is there as well. But one that really disturbed me was from Back to the Future. Now, it's in the scene where... Mad Dog, who'd be the bully in the movie, the antagonist, and his gang roped and hanged Marty McFly, who then was played by Michael J. Fox. But the box that was meant to carry his weight slipped and fell. Michael J. Fox lost consciousness. Nobody realised he was really hanging until an extra spotted it and cut him down.
Good God.
Michael J. Fox very nearly died filming Back to the Future, which is another thing
you'd
never hear.
Would you finally take us to the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, this is the most famous one. This happened back in 1982 during the filming of the Twilight Zone. An actor called Vic Morrow and two child actors were killed in this tragedy. Now, it happened when Vic Morrow and the children were filming a scene at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was depicting Vic Morrow leaving Vietnam to get a helicopter ride back to America, and he was rescuing two Vietnamese children. But what happened, there was pyrotechnics and explosions going off to simulate what was going on and the war scene. One of those pyrotechnics hit the helicopter, which broke off the back rotor blade, which forced the helicopter to come down.
My God.
Awful death. I mean, all three were decapitated. It was absolutely awful. And there is still video footage. You can find it anywhere of the incident itself. But here's the news report, because it caused absolute outrage at the time.
Videotape has recorded for posterity the events which unfolded at 2:20 in the morning on July the 23rd, 1982. Actor Vic Morrow and two children were taking part in the final moments of the Twilight Zone film. Explosions set off by special effects teams rocked a helicopter which hovered above. Then, suddenly, something went terribly wrong. An assistant cameraman on board the helicopter recounts how they were blasted out of the sky.
The third blast blew our tail prop off, and it was all over. We just started spinning, went around in circles about 1.5 times or something, and crashed into the riverbed. And on our way down is when we hit the actors.
As the helicopter crashed, Vic Morrow and the two child actors were killed. At the time, the accident disturbed many in Hollywood, particularly because labor laws governing the employment of child actors appeared to have been so flagrantly violated.
How two children could be working at 2:30 in the morning just blows my mind.
And there were immediate calls from the film crew who'd been on board the downed helicopter for controls on the use of dangerous stunts.
If this doesn't happen, then I think we should withhold our services until this is put into place. I don't see how we can continue on this way. This must stop.
Shortly after the victims were buried and well before director John Landis went on trial, the accident had prompted changes in the film industry.
The state of California really made stricter those regulations dealing with children in movies. In particular, how close a child can get to a dangerous situation, you know, whirling blades or explosions, things like that. The other big impact was the Directors Guild of America, which is the directors union here in the States, has set up a safety committee that I've been told is partly a response to what happened in this film, and the committee is looking at safety on the set, safety during a film production.
I'm sorry, I think it's inappropriate for me at this time to say anything.
Landis and four assistants finally went on trial in July, with the government charging that they did not take all reasonable precautions, but deliberately put the actors in a perilous situation. In his opening remarks, Landis's attorney said those killed in the accident and those on trial were quite simply the victims of fate.
Unforeseen, unforeseeable, and even bizarre events combined to produce a very tragic accident.
Victims of fate.
Victims of fate. And nobody was ever convicted for that. They were all acquitted.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah. Quite a few of our listeners on talking about gun control in the States. And, you know, one person saying gun safety stipulates you always treat any gun as load. The second point, what in God's name was a live round doing in a prop gun? America and guns is the answer, unfortunately. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. I also learned some of the new language, too. When you're on a set, a gun is hot if there's a live round in it, and it's a cold gun if it is. And Alec Baldwin was meant to have a cold gun.
And if you believe the speculation, he had been doing practice shots beforehand where the gun was cold, then put the gun down, they went for lunch, came back, and somehow a live round appeared in it. But that is the talk online. Obviously, that's all on speculation now and it's under investigation. So it'll be interesting to see. And what kind of changes will be brought into the industry as a result of this as well will be interesting to see.
All right, really interesting. Ali, thanks very much indeed for that. News and information's on the way.
Tip Today with Fran Curry, IMRO Radio Award Gold Winner.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.